The M6 or the M25, you could argue that the most important highway in Britain is the information superhighway. The internet, it's revolutionised the way that we shop, pay our bills and watch movies or telly. The trouble is that just like our roads network, online speeds are sometimes just too slow, especially for small firms looking to open up new markets and generate fresh trade. We've been given access to a survey by the Federation of Small Business, which found that 1 in 7 of their members is being held back because of poor broadband connections. Let's hear from Peter Lansbury. He runs a bookkeeping business from his home in Kentmere, near Kendal in the Lake District. Good morning to you, Peter.
Good morning, Adrian.
Just tell me about the kind of problems that your business faces then.
Well, we are a long way from the exchange connection, and our broadband speed's about 1.4 on a good day. All our work is around tax and bookkeeping and accounting, and the government requires that almost all of that is now done online. That's not a problem in itself. Or it wouldn't be if the programs that we need to use, both government programs and other software, worked effectively on a broadband speed of 1.4.
You can't. You're going to tell me that they don't.
They don't work very quickly at all. It's fine if you sit it on your computer and just use it, but when we try and interact with the revenue, for example, you can spend quite a long time downloading something, and a lot of the support for those programs is only web-based. So if something doesn't do what you expect, you try and search the web. Searching the web at 1.4 meg is very slow. You can't even ask a sensible question of a lot of the Microsoft software, never mind some of the more sophisticated stuff.
So what does this mean for your business?
It makes it difficult to expand, and it makes it difficult to offer some of the services which the software suppliers and I think the industry are quite keen on. There are methods where clients can access their bookkeeping information from remote terminals, and indeed we access some clients' bookkeeping information from our location, and that frequently falls over. So if we're trying to read a file at a remote server in maybe London, you just can't keep the connection reliably. And we have one or two clients where that's proved a real problem, and we now have to exchange data by posting memory sticks or CDs.
Incredible stuff. So who are your internet provider and what do they say?
Our internet provider is BT. We're a very long way from anywhere, and the only infrastructure available effectively is BT. We're supposedly getting this wonderful new upgrade to superfast. Well, that we know for sure won't happen to us. We're supposed then to get the default, which would be 2 megs, minimum 2 megs. Well, 2 megs won't really change anything from 1.4. You still can't shop online. I think our support services would still not work. We can't even download the BBC. And it's really quite difficult when you're in a very remote community, which is very small, to create pressure groups or anything else that will solve this. I mean, we're glad that we've got support from other people. Our local MP has been very good about this one. And we're trying to do what we can.
But well, look, Peter, we'll hopefully have one or two answers for you, possibly anyway, between now and 12 o'clock. Thank you. Our reporter Ruth Evans has been looking into this. And, you know, interesting hearing that, Ruth, because, you know, many of us live in urban areas, in towns and cities, taking broadband for granted. So what have people got a right to expect wherever they live in the UK?
Well, the aim is for everyone in the UK to have a download speed of at least 2 megabits per second by the end of 2017. That's the default that Peter mentioned.
Yeah.
Now, that's enough for someone to watch a programme on the BBC iPlayer without it breaking up.
Which you can't do at the moment.
No, but that's just the minimum. The government also wants 95% of the population to get the superfast broadband over the same period. Now, that's 24 megabits per second or more. So that would allow you to have several devices hooked up at the same time.
So how's that all being paid for?
Well, in some places, especially rural areas, it's just not commercially viable for the internet companies to invest in this infrastructure. So the government, local councils and other public bodies are using taxpayers' cash to fill the gap to the tune of $1.2 billion.
It's a pretty huge job then, is it, I'm gathering, with that kind of expenditure?
Exactly. It's a huge job. I mean, the old copper wire system is being replaced by modern fibre optic cables, and it can be quite difficult to reach these remote locations.
Now, so Peter believes that he isn't going to get the super fast broadband. He's just going to be stuck with 2 megabits per second. But some people in his area don't know what they're going to be getting at the moment.
Exactly. The broadband rollout where he lives in Cumbria is being done in partnership by BT and Cumbria County Council. Now, the council told us that the exchange that serves Peter's business is going to be upgraded, but no date has been set. Now, they say that 93% of Cumbrian homes and businesses will be able to get access to superfast broadband by the end of next year, but they can't say when the rest will get access.
Well, I spoke to the local MP for that area, the South Lakes MP, Tim Farron. So I asked him what problems his constituents are facing.
There are parts of my constituency where people are effectively still on dial-up. There are some parishes where you've just got connectivity that is just too low to be able to compete with the big cities. And, you know, any other utility, we wouldn't tolerate this. And if you look at some other parts of, you know, the European Union and Europe more widely, you see countries that are every bit as rural and more than ours, like Norway, where you've got 100 megabits per second for pretty much 100% of the population. And if they can do that when they're dealing with, you know, archipelagos and the Arctic Circle, I reckon we could just about manage the Lake District.
How many businesses do you think are being adversely affected by this?
It's definitely hundreds, without a shadow of a doubt. Most of our employers in Cumbria will be small businesses, creative industries, the tourism industry, agriculture, a whole range of other outfits that depend very much on their relationship to the outside world through the internet. And many of them are existing on extremely low speeds. So those people have been held back in their ability to be able to make a living.
I know you've written to the Communications Minister, Ed Vasey, and you want to know when BT is going to deliver superfast broadband across all of your area. What's the response been?
Well, there's a lot of book passing, I have to say. I mean, we work with BT, we work with the local authority and the county council here, as well as with the Advaisian team in government, to try to get more and more communities connected to faster and faster speeds. And we are winning that battle. It's just a bit of a slow one. What we're after is an honest, open account, essentially a map of Cumbria that shows which bits of the county are going to get what and when. And it is really important that we know that, A, so we can make a fuss and campaign for them to get that superfast broadband, and or B, so we can come up with community schemes that will be able to plug the gap. And it's that information that we desperately need. My view is that BT are being publicly funded to do this, and they have no right to sit on that information.
Why is it so important that they know that in advance?
Well, confidence is everything in business. If you're wanting to make an investment in setting up a new incubator unit, let's say in Windermere, then you will know now that you're going to get very fast broadband speeds. But in another part of the Lake District, you might not have that certainty. And so why would you invest? If you did invest, you know you'd be taking more of a risk. And that's the real danger, that this is a fantastic place to do business. We've got vastly higher than average numbers of people who are self-employed here. The one thing that they desperately need is that connectivity to provide themselves with a level playing field with the rest of the world and the rest of the country.
So that's the South Lakes MP, Tim Farron. So, Ruth, what are the BT saying about the lack of information?
Well, they say they appreciate the fact that people want to know if they will be able to access superfast broadband. And they say the council have published a map which gives a broad indication of the areas that are likely to benefit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just using the internet at home, you'll probably mostly be concerned about your download speed. That's the time it takes to load a film or a website. But for many businesses, as we've been hearing, the speed at which you can upload information is crucial. Let's speak to Trevor Smith. He runs Nanotech Software, not in rural Cumbria, but just outside London, in Buckinghamshire. Hi, Trevor.
Hello, Adrian. Hello.
Yeah, so tell me about your internet connection.
Well, Adrian, we, as you just said, we're based in Buckingham, and we, better than Peter, we have the two megabit, just about, and it allows just barely allows us to function for the downloading of things that we need. But
yeah,
the delivery times are atrocious. But we're a software company, and we distribute software. and we distribute to our clients. And this requires that we upload software. Well, upload speeds are by standard because the demand for broadband is all about download. People don't really think about upload. And the upload speeds are usually a very small, something like 25%, 20% of the of the download speeds. So we're talking about so ridiculously low upload speeds that we have to sort of down tools and wait for half an hour while we deliver something to our clients.
And what does that mean for your customers?
Well, the customers, it's not so much the impact on the customers because they're not so, they can, it doesn't matter them. To them, they get on with their business.
Yeah.
It'll arrive when it arrives. But for us, it means that we can't use our broadband for anything else whilst we're pushing something to a client because it needs every ounce of oomph that it can get to get it up there.
So for that half hour that you're uploading, really, you've got to down tools. You can't be working on your core business.
Well, we can't because our development environment, which is Microsoft-based, everything's going to the cloud now. And so our development environment is continuously live connected to the Microsoft systems. So whilst we're uploading, our broadband, our pipe, our connection to Microsoft has now been swallowed up in the task of delivering to our client.
I understand you've got people that you work with in India who've got a faster internet connection.
We have a company in India who manage our website for us, and the embarrassment and frustration is that frequently they can do things for us faster than we can do them ourselves.
Even in Buckinghamshire. Trevor, thank you from Nanotech Software. If this affects you, by the way, we'd love to hear from you. You can text us on 85058 or email goldberg@bbc.co.uk. We'll hear shortly from the Minister about what he plans to do about it. On Digital Divide, at a time when companies are being encouraged to grow their business online, we're hearing complaints that in some parts of the country, the information superhighway is full of potholes. We've had access to a survey by the Federation of Small Business, which found that one in seven identified poor connectivity as a barrier to growth. Mike Cherry is from the Federation of Small Business. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Adrian.
So we've heard a couple of really quite startling examples, one in rural Cumbria, one just outside London, of how business is being directly hampered by poor broadband connectivity. How widespread a problem is that?
Well, I think our survey very, very clearly shows that this is just not an isolated incident from either Peter or Trevor's own problems. What we have highlighted is an overriding problem that has been created by government. It has been missed by the regulator. You almost still have the monopoly that's held by BT. And quite frankly, our members and small businesses are being very seriously let down over this whole issue.
It's interesting that the target that the government has set is about how quickly you can download material. But obviously for businesses, as we've heard, it's the rate at which you can upload information, and there doesn't appear to be a target for that.
No, there doesn't. And I think what we've got at the moment is an unrealistic aspiration by the government to ensure that we have 2 megabytes per second by 2017, which is quite clearly just totally inadequate, totally unreal. And that has slipped from what was supposed to be put into place for next year even. So clearly there is a lot to be done. And if you look at the costs that were analysed on this in relation to everything else that's going on, we've got around about 40-odd billion on HS2. We've got 50 billion on roads. We've got nuclear power plants going in, and yet we cannot get high-speed broadband to those businesses, which are very, very clearly shown by our surveys wanting to grow, wanting to create jobs, and yet they haven't got effective connectivity in the 21st century now.
Mike Cherry from the Federation of Small Business, thank you. You would expect, wouldn't you, any business based in the UK's very own Silicon Valley to have the very latest technology at its fingertips. But believe it or not, several small businesses operating off the M4 corridor can't even get a decent broadband connection. One of those companies is EBP Source, whose neighbours on the giant Slough trading estate include Centrica, Electrolux, GlaxoSmithKline. It's a niche internet software business which conducts most of its work online, but it's only able to do that by joining two broadband lines together. a process known as bonding to achieve speeds of up to around 6 megabits per second. Let's speak to the company's marketing director, Steve Wright. Morning, Steve.
Hi, Adrian. Good morning.
Just talk to me about the difficulties your business is having doing your basic business.
Yeah, quite correctly. We've been in our current premises, which is on the largest trading estate in Europe, I believe, business park in Europe, for the last 14 years. And yeah, very luxuriously, we had about 8 megabit connections on our broadband lines, probably most of that time. As our usage of, you know, all things on the internet, particularly with the cloud coming along, we do a lot of uploading. Most of our work is overseas, some of it in the UK as well, with large banks and telecommunications companies in a very specialist niche. And so our requirements are very heavy in terms of internet use.
I mean, could just pay, couldn't you, for a dedicated line?
Yes, we could.
Why don't you do that?
We've always had business broadband, and it has been adequate in the past. We've had to resort to bonding lines together to increase the flow of information and to give us to keep that level of adequacy. We're well into, I won't go into the exact figures, but we're multiples of what we used to spend. We also use third-party organisations to provide those services to us. We tend to find we get better levels of connectivity if we go through an organisation that works for BT. We seem to get more of a dedicated line through that process, although it's not totally dedicated. We could go to lease lines, but then you're into multiples of, you know, well into the thousands of pounds a month for a lease line. And believe it or not, your lease lines actually start at very, very low levels of megabits. So we're talking about 2 or 10 megabits. We normally get between 10 and 20 megabits by bonding lines together anyway. Appreciate they're not dedicated to us, and there will be some sharing of the connectivity beyond the exchange, but that's where we're at.
Okay, Steve, yeah, thanks very much indeed for joining. I want to hear from the Minister before we go this morning. Ruth, very briefly, what are BT saying?
They say they've looked at the problems in Steve's area and they are intending to do some upgrading work later in the year. And they say that it's a complex process.
I did speak to Ed Vasey, the Minister responsible. I asked him for his reaction to this survey that shows that 1 in 7 firms identified poor internet connections as a barrier to growth.
We absolutely understand the frustration of small businesses, but we're moving as fast as we can, and I'm confident we're going to hit our targets.
We heard earlier from Tim Farron, a Cumbria MP, and he's concerned that constituents in the Lake District aren't getting a clear picture about who and who isn't going to be getting super-fast broadband, and he says that's holding back business development in his area. Can you recognise that picture?
Well, it has been an issue that people have complained about, and I quite understand why people are concerned. And there's been a bit of pass the parcel going on, but fundamentally it is up to local councils to tell their local communities when and where broadband is coming. We have written to all local councils and asked them to put forward as much information as they feel they can, but ultimately it is their decision.
You say there's been a lot of pass the parcel. Isn't the government passing the parcel on to local councils and private companies like BT instead of controlling it from the centre?
Well, we made a very conscious decision at the beginning of this programme that we were going to be a partner with local councils, because I think if we were going to deliver this programme from Whitehall, it wouldn't be as effective. It's resulted in, I think, quite a lot of benefits. First of all, local councils have match-funded quite a lot of the project, so the central government's put in £500 million, but that's been matched by local councils and also by BT putting in money. So the overall pot of money is about £1.2 billion. Because councils are in charge, I think it is up to them to tell their residents when they're going to get broadband. And it is understandable, some of your listeners won't agree with this, but I can understand why some councils wouldn't want to tell people they're getting broadband absolutely until they were 100% sure it was coming down their street.
The rate of progress does seem rather slow, though, doesn't it? Tim Farron says that in Norway you can get places near the Arctic Circle that have got super-fast broadband. In parts of Cumbria, we've got people with little more than a dial-up connection today.
Yeah, people will always, quite rightly, when they want to make a point, you're going to hear from people who haven't got super-fast broadband, and they're going to be the ones shouting the loudest, and that's totally understandable. But we can all trade specific examples. My favourite example that I picked up a few months ago was a company based in very rural Cornwall who went out to Silicon Valley to pitch one of their products and found they had better broadband in rural Cornwall than they did in Silicon Valley, the heart of the sort of global technology revolution. We have the best broadband infrastructure of all the big five economies in Europe.
If we are going to trade stories then and examples, we've spoken to a high-tech firm in Slough on the edge of the UK's Silicon Valley, and they say their internet connectivity is poor. Another firm describes the UK as a technological third world country. How confident can you be that those gaps in service, even in more developed parts of the country, more urban parts of the country, will be quickly filled?
Well, my understanding is that Superfast Broadband is coming to that Slough trading estate. It has been hard pounding, but we are now well on the way. We're passing something like 20,000 premises a week under this programme. Things are really beginning to move, and we're going to see a real difference this year. We're going to pass 500,000 homes soon and then carry on going.
There you go. That's the minister concerned, Ed Vasey. Adrian Goldberg here on 5 Live Investigates. A podcast will be available shortly after we go off air.